Well, today is it. Today is the day, Resurrection Sunday. We've been talking about it all morning long. It is a glorious day to celebrate in so many ways. And we are thankful and grateful for everything that we are able to celebrate today. But as we learned last week, the blessings that we celebrate today came with a heavy cost, right? Last Sunday, we were at Palm Sunday. Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, and so much happened in just that 1 week. Last Sunday, there was Jesus, and on the one hand, we seen the excited crowds. They were filled with frenzy. They were looking forward to the days ahead. The crowds didn't know what was going on, but they were excited. They were filled with some kind of hope, even if it was misguided. On the other hand, there was Jesus. Jesus was about to embark on perhaps the most difficult experience one could imagine, to fulfill the purpose for which he had come. And as we hinted at last week, the road that Jesus would be taking to get us to where we are today would be a road that included much suffering and pain and loss. But through it all, we are here today. We made it, celebrating the resurrection. But some might be wondering, well, what's the big deal? Why is this so important? And for that, we're going to turn to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul is writing to a church that was a bit confused. There were some people suggesting that the believers who had died would not in fact be resurrected one day. And so it's in response to that misunderstanding that Paul writes to the Corinthians what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. He writes, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." May God add his blessing to his word this morning. What a powerful scripture, a very meaningful one, but those last few verses are especially meaningful for us this morning. And so I'd like to just read them once again, verses 20 on, where Paul says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, The resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. My friends, I want to say this morning that it was not madness that drove Jesus to the cross. It wasn't some bad decision he made. He didn't do some miscalculation on what would happen, and he lost, and he ended up at the cross. I want to say this morning that Jesus deliberately chose the way of the cross, and most importantly, he did that for our benefit. Jesus experienced all that we've talked about before. He experienced the pain of betrayal, the agony of suffering physically, the reality of death. He experienced the darkness of hell. And finally, he experienced the glory of the resurrection for our sake, in order to make the way for us to follow him. The key word in that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the word first fruits. It comes from a concept that's presented in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 10 to 14. The idea there was that before God's people could enjoy the abundant blessings that they were counting on and that were going to be so necessary for them, that they would inevitably receive sooner or later, they were to give the first fruits of the crop to God as an act of faith, as an act of trust, as an act of knowing that more was to come. It was the initial portion that went to the Lord in faith that in the due course of time, the rest would be provided. You could think of the first fruits as a kind of a deposit, you know, trusting that the balance will be coming. But here's the parallel for us. The feast of the first fruits was to be held around the time of the Passover. And as we know, Jesus was raised to life right around the time of the Passover as well. Now, is that some coincidence? I really don't believe that. Just as in the Old Testament, the feast of the first fruits recognized the reality of a greater harvest yet to come, so what Paul is saying to the Corinthians and to us is that the resurrection of Jesus is a first fruits pointing to a greater harvest yet to come. Jesus didn't choose the way of the cross because it was going to be a picnic. He didn't take it in order to show us just how tough he is. I can take those nails. He took it in order to make it possible for us, you and me, one day to follow in his footsteps. To not only experience death, which is inevitable, but also life. Think about it. Our entire life long, we're fixed on the reality of death. It's often on our mind. We know that sooner or later we are going to die. It's a certainty, just like taxes, right? That's why we go to the doctor to get checked out. We want to stay healthy. We want to avoid death. We view death as the enemy. And when someone dies, we mourn, as we should mourn. But I do wonder if we don't have things a little bit backwards. while we are so concerned about the reality of death, Jesus has already prepared for us a way to experience the reality of the resurrection. Friends, that's good news for us. While the world is reeling at the prospect of, and fear, I should say, of death, what Easter does for us is it shows us that there is indeed life yet to come. That the tomb does not have the final say, and that death is far from being the end. That is why Paul can say with all confidence in 1 Corinthians 15, that same chapter, but later on, verses 54 to 57, he says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Kind of mocking it, isn't he? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. Those are realities, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The victory that we have, the hope that we have, comes through Jesus. It doesn't come from your works. It doesn't come because you did all these wonderful things. And I appreciate that you do all these wonderful things. Praise the Lord for all the people that helped me out yesterday in our event here at the church. That was awesome. But it's not, victory doesn't come from our works. It doesn't come from our rituals. It doesn't come from my ambition, my determination. Victory comes through Jesus. Death has been overcome by Jesus. Our hope, our only hope, our absolute only hope is in Jesus, the first fruits of those who have risen from the dead. Friends, there is no other way. You can try all sorts of things, but there is nothing else that is going to bring us to that place of eternal life. There is no other hope. There is no other Savior. There is only one who has conquered sin and death. And that person, my friends, you know, is Jesus. Jesus took the way of the cross. He took it very deliberately, the hard way. Because of that, he was dead and buried. And as far as the authorities were concerned, that was the end of this troublemaker. Case closed, problem solved. I can't help but wonder if the religious authorities thought that now that Jesus was crucified, everything would go back to normal. But as the authorities would find out, there's only one thing more powerful than a living Messiah, and that's a Messiah that they once crucified, dead and buried, and hallelujah, came back to life. Satan thought he had won the victory. He had thought that that was it on Good Friday. Satan thought that it was all said and done. But Jesus broke through and broke free from that tomb. As the hymn says, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. Friends, Jesus' enemies, his foes, Jesus' foes were not the Roman soldiers. His foes were not the politicians, whether they were leaning on one side or the other. His foes were not the religious leaders who convinced Pilate to have Jesus crucified. His foe was not Pilate. His foes were all the powers of darkness who were behind it all. The dark domain, they were his foes. And those are the foes that were defeated. Jesus had the last word. It is finished. The work is done. And something more glorious has come. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, a beautiful verse, says, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." That's what my Jesus did. He did it for me, and he did it for you. He took on the worst that could be imagined. He endured the hardest, the roughest, the most miserable human experience. Because the end goal was worth it all. Here's the thing, friends. That end result had to do with us, not so much about himself. Everything he went through, right up to and including, especially including the resurrection, was for you and for me. We needed Jesus' resurrection. That's the big deal. That's what's so amazing about all of this, that it was for us, all of it. When we celebrate the resurrection, we are celebrating the hope that we have been given, that the grave is not the end. We mourn, but we do not mourn as those who have no hope. Why? Because Jesus has opened the way. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection changed so many lives immediately. Mary, how their grief turned to joy, their despair turned to celebration, their darkness turned to beautiful light and hope. Thomas, how Jesus confronted the doubt that Thomas had experienced and changed his life. The two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, how they were confused until Jesus met them and clarified things for them. And don't forget, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about 500 men who met Jesus after the resurrection. If it was only one or two, you could say, well, you know, somebody's telling a little story here. But it was 500 of them that Jesus appeared to and could testify that he was alive and he is alive. I could only imagine the huge impact that Jesus had on them. How their grief turned to joy and glory. What an event! What an event it must have been. And I want to close this morning by suggesting that the resurrection of Jesus can have an impact on your life. That's what all this is about. Easter is for you. It's for you. It's hope for you. It's a new future that Jesus wants to give to you. And it's made possible because of Jesus' victory over sin and death. Our part, friends, is to embrace Jesus. The world offers one thing, And all it does is it leads us to more pain and frustration and hurt. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the full. It's the thief, the spiritual thief that comes to kill and destroy. But it's Christ that has come that we may have life and have it to the full. We need to embrace Jesus. He will not force you. You could reject him. You could be obstinate. You could be stubborn. You can say, no, I'm not happy with that. I need something different. He will not force you. You will have your free will. But I can tell you this, there's only one way to experience life, life to the full, life that is new, life that is resurrected, and we can't get there through our own efforts. Jesus is the first fruits. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The bottom line is this. Without Christ, we are as good as dead. Without Christ, you are as good as dead. You might be sitting here living, breathing. You might be watching us online if that's still working, living, breathing. But without Christ, we are as good as dead. But with Christ, with the resurrection, there is no more fear of death. The power of death has been destroyed. The sting of death is mocked because of Christ. Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, my desire is that you will know that victory. And if you don't know that victory, today is a great day to ask Jesus to come into your life. To say, I've done my own thing. I've tried my own way. But it just leads to a dead end. Inevitably, it's going to lead to a dead end. And there's only one way, and that is to embrace Christ. And I encourage you to embrace Christ today. That is our victory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning, and we want to begin by thanking you, Lord, for the gift of life through Jesus Christ, who came, who chose the difficult way, the narrow way, the way of the cross, and he did that for us, that we might live, that we might have hope. And I pray this morning that if there's somebody here or with us online this day, who perhaps has not given their heart to you and embraced you and received you as their own Lord and Savior. Father God, they are walking in darkness. They are the living dead. Father God, I pray that today as your Spirit speaks to them and touches them and calls them, Lord, that they may respond to you and come to you and give their heart and their life to you and follow you. And Lord, the path of following you will not be an easy one. We know that. You chose the way of the cross and you call us to take up the cross. But Father God, we also know that the end result is glorious. And I pray, Father God, that for each one of us, that we may be recipients of that glory, that we would experience the victory that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.